You are listening live to the program. Your teams, your town, your program.
Good practice. He did the walkthrough this morning. Good practice this afternoon.
It's doing good. You know, I've had a few days of treatment, a few days of rehab. Excited to get on the practice field and kind of test it out and see where I'm at. But it's feeling good so far.
Yeah, well, listen, they probably should. They've won three games. So, you know, I'm sure that's how they feel. That's okay. We're still going to, you know, play the game. So
I'm sure a lot of guys are aware of the comments that they're making. I've been playing against the team since I've been in the NFL, so it's nothing new to me. Like, the Bengals, they've always been the raw team, and, you know, they back it up, and that's what they've been doing this whole season. So it's just more so for me to go out there and just play ball, have fun, and just talk about shoulder pads and helmet.
Yeah, I mean, every time I walk on that field, I don't think I'm an underdog, especially when I walk on Arrowhead's field. So I just go in with the same mindset of, we're going to play our best football to win. We know we're playing a great football team that's beat us the last three times. And so we have to learn from our mistakes in the past and be better in order to win against a great football team.
And now, with all eyes on the most notable ankle injury since Achilles, Seren Petro.
Right you are, Kay. Right you are. Petro on the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you for joining us on a cloudy, but somehow many of the kids around town got the day off from school. You got one on them.
Really?
Kiddos. Yeah, both my kids were out. Knew a lot of people whose kids were out. School's out. Was your school out?
Nope.
Grinding away. Both
wow.
My kids. Snow day.
Soft.
Okay.
Nah, it's maybe we should have got more snow days, but man, we would have never gotten the day off.
Yeah. I
Raytown C2 did not get this day off.
Nope. You'd been forced to walk to work barefoot uphill both ways. So, yeah.
Right. In my day.
Yeah, whole different world. We got a lot coming your way. You can grab a phone line right now if you want to chime in, be a part of the program, 913-310-810. Gets pretty busy after this. So if you got some thoughts on this AFC Championship game, we've seen video of him, Patrick Mahomes, being him, warming up to practice, kind of doing some stretching.
So I'm dancing. This is amazing. No,
I did not see dancing.
Yeah,
did you see dancing?
No, he was
okay.
Did a ballroom dancing thing, and was, the guy's a good dancer.
Yeah, so he's out there. He's on the practice field as we speak right now. So he's going to give it a go. They're going to see how it's doing, see how it reacts. I think they're thinking go at it Wednesday. If they got to back off on Thursday, and then see what happens on Friday. But certainly looks like he's going to play. I still think they sold hard on him playing. Am I the only one that thought that they were selling hard on that?
Same. By tomorrow, today allows them to sell hard and not really have to say they were. Well, we're just trying to see how it goes. We think everything's great, and if nothing happens, then tomorrow they can say we'll back off a little bit.
The way I put it is, I think he's going to play.
Yes.
But if they say he's inactive, I won't be stunned. I won't fall out of my chair.
I'm still above that mindset as well.
Right. I think Andy Reid, if Andy Reid looks at it and goes, I don't think you can move around well enough to protect yourself. I'm not putting you out there. I'm not jeopardizing you. So we're not going to put you out there. Then I could see that. But I don't think it's going to happen. This was a big one. Seeing him actually out on the practice field is the first start. And so it looks like he will be there. The spread, as we watch what the betting markets think, reacting largely at this point, due to the ankle of Patrick Mahomes, is now down to one. Is that correct? Bengals by one.
It is now one.
It is now one on FanDuel. So, we've seen this move around quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
That's the spot I would want it, because you bet the Chiefs are going to get them even money, maybe plus 105. That's better than messing around with the points, because in all likelihood, they're probably not going to win by 1 point. But
the weird thing I saw, though, is that both teams, and you know more about this than I do, but both teams are now minus money on the money line. Chiefs are like minus 104.
Well, that's – well, so that means – they're what? Minus 112?
112.
Well, so, listen, if you get a true pick 'em, it's minus 105, minus 105, right? They both go down at 105.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the old days, if you bet it with Louis the Fish, he'd put it at minus 110 both ways and double the VIG. But, you know, that's what's always going to happen is, that, you know, it's going to balance out. But it speaks to that the Bengals are still favored. They think the point is almost irrelevant. And they virtually got the game as a pick'em, which, as we know, as a 1-point favorite, it's already there. I get that. But when they're not even even money, they're you're having to pay some of the juice as well with the Chiefs. It speaks to how close they think this is. And yep. They can't expect to, they have a knowledge of what a high ankle sprain is injury-wise. And that's baked into the line. That's baked into what they think is going to happen with this game. And certainly they know that big bettors are aware of what comes with that injury. And so they've got to bake it into the line so that somebody doesn't, just jump on it and get an advantage. So they think he's going to play. They think he's going to play pretty well. And the question is, how much does Andy Reid have to tailor the offense, have to limit what they're doing, have to change the routes, have to try to get the ball out quicker, have to center up the field more? I go back to what Trent Green said on Monday night. And if you missed it, you want a great preview about playing hurt as a quarterback and Patrick Mahomes and a great breakdown. Check out that 5 o'clock hour on Monday at 810WHB.com in the podcast. Because Trent, said, well, you could see it. The throws outside the numbers just weren't there.
Didn't have the zip.
So the question is he going to become a center of the field only guy? Is he going to limit how far he can throw the ball because there's no plant foot? Yeah. That's what they find out at the practice today. Start to find out how much he's going to be able to drive off that, and do they have to change up the dynamics of how they're going to go ahead and deliver the ball?
Now that we've established
where they're going to deliver the
ball. What the plant foot is. You were right.
I was right?
Yes.
Did we look at it? Was that? I thought so.
Yeah. By all metrics, you were right. I guess yes. I was thinking the plant foot. This is stupid of me because it's different parts of the body, but my thought was, well, the plant foot for the kicker is the opposite of the strong leg or of the dominant leg, so would it be the same for the opposite of the dominant arm?
It's the worst logic I've ever heard in my life.
Well,
it's the one you plant.
You want me to play the liner that says it might be a dumb reason, but yeah. It's my dumb reason? Because
that same logic somehow has him in first place in the program picks.
No, we're tied.
Oh, that's right. You guys, you caught him. 55-45.
Thank you. We're tied.
Will be decided possibly
last
this weekend.
Three games.
Yeah.
Could be decided. One of us goes 2-0, the other goes 0-2.
Find out tomorrow. But I kind of wonder if the play, Travis Kelce in the post game, they'd much, oh, yeah, I'm supposed to go this way. There's the one long play down the, when they were going left to right down the field, that they were off and Kelce was wide open. I kind of wonder, looking back on that, was that the foot? Because that's, they kind of played it up that he thought I was going to stay there and I went out. Those guys are never on the wrong page. And when they miss that badly on a
wide
open, that makes me think that was the foot. He didn't get as much on it and it didn't, arm went one direction and was supposed to go this direction. It was just off just enough where they missed on that play.
Yeah, there's no doubt. It adds a layer of questionability to it as to what went wrong. But I do think it's quite intriguing. Listen, today I was in, and we'll hear a little conversation I have with Colin Saunders later on in the program after Eric Eager in the 3 o'clock hour, next hour. By the way, Eric Eager in the 3, talking Chiefs football, Lebo in the 4. We'll hear from the podium, Todd Lebo with the highlights of the podium, his Lebo sounds coming up at 4, and then Seth Kizer talking Chiefs football in the 5. So a lot of Chiefs football. I know a couple of the basketball teams played, but it's the AFC Championship game.
Yeah, sorry.
But we'll take your call. We open the phone lines, and there are 4 people waiting right now, and the subjects are Chiefs/Mahomes, Chiefs, and Mahomes/Henny.
Well, I posted.
Why aren't you breaking down Mizzou's win over Ole Miss? Call.
I know a couple of people who probably would tell me that. Or they're potentially moving back this weekend to the old throwback, the big Block M jerseys. They've hinted at that for this week. That could be fun.
Well, that could be fun.
When they take on Iowa State. But
we've got one Mizzou yahoo that wears this god-awful hat. Good Lord, what is that thing that was walking around in here? Do you see that thing?
I did not.
Sterling with that goofy.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's...
You liked it. Don't run from it.
I didn't say I liked it. I did appreciate that it was a throwback to a specific time. I remember when mid-90s when this terrible particular hat brand was.
It's not that it's Mizzou.
Up.
It's just like, no. Yeah, just, we've moved on from that in hats.
True.
You want to know why? Because we looked at it for about a year and went, boy, that sucks.
Well, that's terrible.
What were we thinking there? Just like you're going to run from these AFC West flapping banner under the team logos.
Mid-70s Topps trading card.
Yes. Hate those hats. Hate those hats. I usually buy whatever hat the coach wears. Like, I got my Herm hat, and Haley pretty much had the same hat.
Yeah,
but,
the Haley hat would be one that hasn't been washed and has the sweat ring around it.
Andy Reid has had, you know, every year he's got a different design.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wearing my white
one. The Herm hat was cool.
The
all
Herm
red
hat was cool.
With the white case.
Yeah,
was,
I like it a lot.
Was a pretty cool look.
I got the white one that had the little red, gold, red, you know. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a textured material. I like that hat a lot. That's what Andy wore last year. You know, I thought that was a great one. But anyway, I digress. I think the chess match is how much of the offense, you know, how do they have to tailor the offense? I think you can run most of the offense, but how long can they block for? And what does Andy Reid have to take away? Does he have to take away some of the outside throws and focus on the middle of the field? It gets easier to defend.
Yep.
So that's what they're going to find out today and how they go about doing things. A lot of questions about the rivalry with the Bengals today. And
the Bengals' chattiness.
And yes, that was the term I was using. They're quite chatty. And I always try to preface it and say, listen, maybe it's just how the camera happens to catch it. But it seems like there's a lot more conversation between the Chiefs and Bengals. And you recall the regular season matchup between the Bengals and Chiefs was kicked off on a Wednesday or Thursday with Justin Reid saying, I'm going to lock him down. We think he meant Hayden Hurst. He said 88, but then he said Higgins. And so it became a thing, and the Bengals responded. The Bengals were chirpy that day. The Bengals won the game again, even though the Chiefs had the ball, had a chance to ice the lead in a turnover late. Great play by the Bengals defense to rip it out from Travis Kelce when they had a few guys holding them up and another guy going for the strip. They come away a loser for the third consecutive time. All the guys are sitting there listening to, well, you know, you've lost three in a row. They're hearing that all the time. Nobody taking the bait and saying anything even that could possibly be construed as negative. You heard Andy Reid there in the open. Well, they've won three in a row. I'm sure they do feel good. Yeah, we're going to go ahead and play the game. There is a quiet resolution. Doesn't mean they're going to win, but they are aware of what's out there. They are aware the Bengals are chirping. And I think that's what we're going to find out. Have the Bengals gotten too big for their own britches? They think they own the Chiefs.
And this week they're a favorite. So
for the first time.
The only person who said anything remotely, I won't say controversial, was Juju Smith-Schuster, who said that, they're always like that. They're always talking. But that's about as far as any of them would go.
Well, and he added, but they walk the walk, or they back it up.
Yeah, they backed it up.
He added that at the end of it.
Yeah, he says they talk, but they back it up. So,
They are not going to step out of line. They are not saying much, nothing that can be construed as game plan, which they never do, but certainly nothing that could fire the opposition up. I think I like that. I was walking out. I will say that, like, okay, are they tight? Are they uptight? I was walking out, so I was in the locker room as I started down this road, and I forgot. I was in the locker room. Guys were kind of – they were taking some guys up to the stadium, you know, the locker room and the practice facility, taking some guys up to the stadium. I talked to Colin Saunders, was looking around for guys. Kadarius Toney, no, I'm not talking. People were asking Chris Jones. He said he's not talking. Turns out he's going to be at the podium on Friday. Creed Humphrey said, I'll be at the podium on Friday. A lot of guys are going to be at the podium.
Yeah.
Anyone who's going to be at the podium was not talking.
Right.
And, you know, which I don't love, but I get it. I understand, hey, you'll get your shot. Just be there at the podium. Okay, great, got it. Not a lot of folks to talk to. The DBs had pumped up the music. They have a little, we call it the DB cave, where they all kind of hang out in this one little corner. They had the music going, so it was going to be bad audio if you went over, and unless somebody, you'd have to ask somebody, hey, can we come out here away from the music? Why not? By design, you know, but whatever, it's okay. A lot of the guys weren't there. There was, like, out of the DBs, Josh Williams, and I think Watson came around later. Those would be the two guys. Otherwise, nobody else. There was no McDuffie. Reed was at the podium. Justin Reed. Juan Thornhill came over, put something in his locker, and then went back into the back.
I'm sure he'll talk this week.
Yeah, so maybe.
Maybe.
So I'm like, all right, this sucks. I'm going up to the stadium. I'm out. So I head out. This, you know, point again. Are they uptight? I head out, and I got to walk across the parking lot because Fatty almost fell down and went boom, walking down the hill in the snow. I mean, I was – Nate goes, oh, I told Nate, I said, I almost went down. I slid like, I looked back at the track. I slid like 18 inches on 1 foot. And he's like, oh, quite agile. I said, no, pure luck. God,
absolutely.
No agility. So I'm like, I'm not traipsing through the snow again. I'm just going to walk out to the driveway that comes down by the guard gate and then walk up that driveway and then out. We park along the entranceway to the stadium is where we all park for the media. And on my way out, somebody's like, hey, you're late. And I'm like, you're not talking to me. You're late. Where were you? Hey, you're late. And I'm like, it's Andy Reid yelling at me from the red SUV. They're bringing him back from the stadium.
That's funny.
And he's yelling at me that I'm late. And I was like, it was like, this is the second member of Chiefs management that I've turned to be like, what the hell? And be like, oh. Because I was kind of like, well, who the hell's riding
ass? Fantastic.
I really thought it was some other media member. And I was going to be like, well, who, what the hell? And it was Reed. And so I just stood there and chatted with him for 2 minutes tops. And just about, he asked me, I said, oh, yeah. I said, I was in the locker room. And I joked around. I said, it's amazing. I mean, everyone was in there, Coach. They were all in there, and they were all talking. What I thought was great was when they were drawing the actual injury of Patrick up on a whiteboard and how it worked and what percentage they thought he was at and everything. And, they had some choice comments about the Bengals, and he kind of laughed. And so it was just general small talk about it. But not a guy who's uptight.
No.
Which I was like, all right, what do I think about that? I'm like, well, he's not. He's accomplished so much. That the AFC Championship game, yes, absolutely he wants to win. He's pouring hours and hours into this, as he does every game. But is there a sense of, listen, my career is not going to be made by this. I've won 200 games and a championship. And so, my place in the sport is secure. No, I don't think so. I don't think that it's a guy who's content.
No.
I think it's a guy.
Guys like that are never content.
Feels pretty good about where they are. Now, does this mean Patrick Mahomes is going to be looking like the normal Patrick Mahomes? I don't think there's a snowball's chance in hell he's going to look normal. None. For all the reasons we've stated for the 2 days previous to this. It's on his plant foot, the foot he pushes off of to throw. It's worse than, and I appreciate Andy Reid trying to sandbag the injury. By my view, after watching back to the Jaguar game in 19 when he hurt the other ankle, it's much more significant than that injury was. And that injury affected him for several weeks. So he's going to be hobbled. He's going to be hobbled in the Super Bowl if they should win this game. But I did feel like Andy Reid's not like, oh, God. Oh, quick, go by that guy. I don't want to see him. Oh, I don't know what the hell I'm going to do. He was jovial and,
it's a good sign.
Yeah. So I think they're all business, but they are not. This is a team that's been there and done it.
Yes.
And I think they will be ready.
This is a normal procedure.
Yeah, I think they will be ready. I think they have the answers. To the questions that will be posed to them, even with Mahomes not at 100%. The question is, will they get to them fast enough?
Yeah.
That's what I think.
Because a lot of the answers are on the other side as well. I think they feel better.
Well, the Bengals are going to pose the questions.
Yeah, I think
they'll have the answers, just do they get to them quick enough?
Yep.
And I do think, and you'll hear from Colin Saunders later, I do think the defensive side of the ball knows that this is their moment. Right, they had moments in 19 where they stepped up and made it happen. They had to get stops in the Super Bowl when they got down 10. They got they got the stop. The Chiefs got the touchdown. They got another stop. Chiefs got another touchdown. They got another stop. They had the answers when it counted. They need answers in this game on Sunday, and I think there's a belief that they can have them. Question is, will they have them at the right time? 913-3810-810. We got a lot of people lining up. We'll take your calls. We're talking some Chiefs football, AFC Championship game. We're at the hump day. It's midweek, first week of practice for the Kansas City Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes is on the field and practicing as we speak. Andy Reid saying, did not expect him to be limited in practice. Thought he'd be a full go in practice today. I think as much to test him as it is to, necessarily. That he's all good to go. 913-3810-810. 913-3810-810. Hit me up on the Twitter. It's @SorenPetro. You're on the program. You're listening to the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We're talking Chiefs football. Let's get to the phones. We want to get as many people in as possible. Eric Eager, the data scientist from Sumer Sports, coming up in the 3 o'clock hour, 913-3810-810. Let's start things off with Brandon. You're in the program, Brandon. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, man. Thanks for taking my call. Just kind of had a couple questions for you guys and get your thoughts on it. I haven't really heard the status on Hardman. I was just wondering if there's a real chance he'll play this weekend, or if we're maybe just kind of keeping it out there for the scouting for the other team. The other question I had is, or thought I had, with Mahomes' injury, does that kind of, I don't want to say that his injury is a plus, a good thing, but does that kind of keep him within himself this weekend? You know, some of the greatest plays he's ever made is when he gets outside of the pocket, extends the plays, but at the same time, we see a lot of interceptions that way too. So kind of humble him in the pocket, put a little pressure on the O-line to protect him, and look for those checkdowns instead of those big plays all the time. I'll listen off the line. Thanks again.
All right, I appreciate the call. I'm going to first object to the notion of a lot of interceptions. Many of
maybe a higher percentage
of his interceptions
of
have
his
come
few
from
interceptions.
A lot of interceptions. The man has thrown 192 touchdowns and only 49 interceptions.
It's pretty good.
Even last year, when for much of the year he was leading the league in interceptions, largely because Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce and others couldn't catch in the first part of the season. As of his eight interceptions when he was at eight, I think seven of the eight were deemed 70% or more likely to be caught by his own receiver, yet they ended up being interceptions. So this is not a man who's haphazard with the football. But to your point, your overall greater point, could this create a game plan that actually works well against the Bengals? Sure it could. Could Patrick Mahomes have to sit and play old school quarterback and find out that that works too? Yes. Could he take the check down more? Sure. But could the Bengals sit on all the check down routes? Could the Bengals leave it only to the deep ones and him not be able to throw it? Yeah, that's possible as well. You come up with a scenario. I mean, listen, Eric Eager last night on a Red Golden Bull podcast picked the Chiefs 31-13. I think it's a complete homer pick. I'll tell him that again today. He might be right.
Yeah.
Play the game 10 times. I think one of them could certainly go 31-13 Chiefs. But this, you know, through three games with largely the same personnel and the same coaching staff, they've played virtual ties. You know, and
the with only the real
Bengals
the Chiefs,
making the plays necessary to win at the end.
The only statistical edge the Chiefs have had in those three games is that they've led for more minutes, which is, I mean, it certainly shows that the Bengals aren't some, you know, monolith that can't be overcome.
Right.
But so it shows their ability to get out to a lead that might become 31-13. They just haven't been able to close off Joe Burrow.
Yeah. 913-3810-810. Let's go to Travis. You're in the program, Travis. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. Before I start, though, you guys need to be nicer to Eager on the podcast. You guys kind of ganged up on him last night.
You know, everyone has their time where two guys are coming at him, it seems. Like, I was getting beat up one night because I said I will not believe in luck.
In luck, yep.
You know, it just happens. But, you know, there's mutual respect, and nobody gets offended except Eric. You know, and it's something he's got to work on. You know, I mean, let's be honest.
I agree.
And mathematically, if one person on that of the three disagrees with the other, the third person's going to agree with one of the two, and it's going to be a 2-on-1.
Yeah.
Well, but it's always seems like it's one person, and then one person's with Jeff because Jeff's never with the Chiefs. So.
Yeah, I mean, Jeff gets it a lot. Jeff usually gets it the most, but this year you're right. It has been more Eric, and it's because. Well, for me, it's because the Chiefs lost the AFC Championship game to the Bengals. They've lost three in a row to the Bengals. They've lost two out of three to the Bills. The idea that the Chiefs are a monolith that can't be taken down,
right,
I think, has been debunked. Now, I think they're every bit the equal to both of those teams, but those teams have taken five out of six of them and would have been six out of six if Mahomes didn't have the most miraculous ending game comeback in the history of playoff football with 13 seconds getting a field goal. I mean,
if there were two fewer seconds, that wouldn't have happened.
You know,
of course, if they would have lost that, they wouldn't shouldn't have lost the other one.
Previous to that information, though, we had a Chiefs team that was couldn't stop anybody and still was headed to the Super Bowl in 18 if D4 doesn't line up offsides.
Yeah.
Then wins the Super Bowl in 19 while surviving an injury to Patrick Mahomes along the way and others along the way in 19. They were banged up early in the season, and they win a championship. Then they steamroll the entire regular season and into the Super Bowl, winning playoff games with injured offensive linemen. We foolishly think, well, offensive line doesn't matter at all when you have Patrick Mahomes. The Bucs proved it did, but we still could hang our hat on the fact that, well, it's because their offensive line wasn't healthy. And I think that is the reason why. I think if their line was healthy, they would have beaten the Bucs. They weren't. The next year, it all started, like, things started to change, mm-hmm. right? And so the Bills beat them in the regular season. The Bengals beat them in the regular season. Then the Bengals took them down in the conference championship game. Both those teams beat them again this year. Like, I just... Eric, to me, and I'll bring it up, I'm not talking behind his back, is still viewing the Chiefs through the lens that didn't have five losses in six games to the two chief rivals in the conference.
Yeah. Well, they're cute at that age. So, you know, it's so just real quick. So one of the things that I wanted to bring up is everybody's talking about, we all know how Pat is dynamic in out making space, but getting out of the pocket and making plays and doing all that stuff. But he's also leads all quarterbacks in stats this year, I believe, in passing from the pocket. Yeah. So it's not like he can't do it. It's not like he's not good at it. And then the other thing on the defensive side is we've talked about the defensive line and how important it is, but our linebackers absolutely cannot be a liability on Sunday in the passing game. In the Buffalo game, it looked like Cincinnati was willing to dink and dunk and check down, and they gashed the Bills with the running backs in the snow. And if Bolton and Willie Gay are not playing their best and they're clueless in the passing game, I fear that even the pass rush, it might not be enough to get the job done Sunday.
Yeah. So I think they have to put heat on Burrow. But your overall point about not getting destroyed by the running backs is a good one. But I think you can stop a lot of that if you can put pressure on Burrow. And they've struggled to do that, even though other teams have had great success doing it. I don't think that I believe a lot of what Tim said, that snow is an offensive lineman's best friend. And I think the problems the Bengals have on the offensive line were somewhat masked by the snow, as the Chiefs managed to mask some of their problems on the offensive line en route to that 20 Super Bowl, and then on a good field against a Bucs team that was ready to go. And Travis, I'm going to let you go. Thank you for the call. You know, it is finally too much, and the Chiefs offensive line couldn't handle it. And I think there's a distinct possibility that you will see something to a lesser extent, to a lesser degree, play out like that. Now, Joe Burrow went to a Super Bowl with an offensive line that wasn't very good. They're down three starters this time after improving the offensive line. So it may be the equivalent of last year's offensive line. But the Chiefs should have got a lot of heat on Joe Burrow. And I'm not going to say Steve Spagnuolo is coaching for his job, but it's good. If they get no heat whatsoever on Joe Burrow with backup offensive linemen, it's not going to be a fun offseason for Steve Spagnuolo.
No.
You have to be able to pressure Joe Burrow against backup offensive linemen.
The one addition that the Bengals will have this week that they didn't have in the previous game is they will have Joe Mixon. So, I mean, Samaje Perine was a beast in the game in Cincinnati. He won't get quite the role he had.
Did you see a problem at the running back position last time?
In them covering the running back?
No, in what the production the Bengals got.
No.
I don't even care if Mixon's there. He keeps them fresher, but I think Perine's is equal.
So he has been to them over the last few weeks.
Yeah.
Just real quick, to Travis's earlier point about Eager, something I would suggest to your podcast, Seren, is for that guy who is getting ganged up on, give him the option to fire to commercial.
Yeah.
Because that's a pretty nice strategy when you're getting upset.
You've used it quite well here in recent days, no doubt. Let's go to David. You're in the program, David. What's going on?
Show today, guys. Hey, so I know we're pressed for time. I had a two-part, but I'll just cut to the chase on one.
Okay.
So, okay. I know this probably won't happen, and I never play organized football. However, if you had a backup quarterback, if you could choose one that's a veteran and that you could trust in Henny, does Reed go back? I was reading up, and it's been done before in the 40s and 50s and as recently as 2018 with Baltimore. You probably know where I'm going with this. Do we line up with two quarterbacks at the same time? Do we do different schemes? Do we mix it up? And if we don't, why not try it now when all the cards are going to be on the table to get to the Super Bowl?
The reason, and David, it's an interesting thought, and it's certainly out-of-the-box thinking. However, the time it takes to craft an offense, it's not just like, hey, here's some new plays, guys. Let's run them. Right? There is a coordination. There is a timing to it. And, you know, we had a show we did a long time ago about, you know, how sports could look different in 50 years or 100 years or something. And I brought up the idea of having two or three quarterbacks on the field, that, you know, having a Hines Ward but still passes more. Having a, you know, guys that, you know, Antoine Randall-El and guys that are former quarterbacks that oftentimes get switched to receiver that throw the ball three or four times a game. That the dual pass becomes more of a staple of just trying to spread the defense out further. So I like where you're thinking. I'm intrigued by that as well. But no chance in 1 week do they hatch a new offense with any kind of extreme like that. And frankly, you know, what they're going to work on is these are the coverages that the Bengals run. This is how we attack them with these routes. Like, their offense is their offense. And Andy Reid will have some new stuff. He always does, right? And at times we accuse him of leaning at the tape or not going for the throat. Part of that's because he wants to make sure he's got stuff for the next time he sees somebody, that he's not put everything on tape for everyone to be able to prepare for everything he's got. There will be things he does in this game that he has not done all year. And what you hope is it's the really good stuff. For whatever they need to make up with Patrick Mahomes and his ankle, that the really good stuff makes up for it. The answer to the question this man is about to propose is to the phones. That's where we go from here. 913-310-810. We'll talk Chiefs with Eric Eager next. I'm talking Chiefs with you right now. 913-310-810. Let's go to George in OP. You're in the program, George. What's going on, buddy?
Well, best of the afternoon, gentlemen, and let's give nothing but good vibes for the weekend.
Sounds good to me. I like that idea.
As far as the previous caller is concerned, I was kind of in the same boat, thinking of having Henny and Mahomes in the same backfield, and I understand the liabilities of that. The one that most people wouldn't think of is we're losing one blocker. We're not going to have Henny do it.
Well, I think all of it. You know football. Neither one are picking up a blitz.
And the other issue,
I don't understand. What is Henny doing?
Yeah, the other issue is that with Mahomes not at 100%, he's more similar to what Henny is in abilities. To me, if you're going to have two quarterbacks in the backfield, they have to be very, very different in their abilities. And this is not the 1 week you'd do that.
Can we go no further? I'm fine with the out-of-the-box idea, but can we go no further with this?
Around long
enough? I will point out two things, though.
Okay.
One is, if Mahomes is going to be a pocket passer with his skills, I don't mind Dan Marino being back there.
No, he's been tremendous out of the pocket. In 2018, when he won the MVP, he had an incredible passer rating out of the pocket, and he was the highest-rated passer in the pocket. He can throw the football from anywhere. He'll be fine if that's how he decides to play.
The last observation is, I'm glad that we at least won by 7 and did not have to pull up any of our two-point conversion plays in the last game. Because, number one, those are available now if we still have to use them. And, number two, did we really want to risk it?
You mean risk going for two or
going
risk
for two in as close a game as it was last week?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm with you. Anything Andy Reid doesn't have to use, George, and thank you for the call, is something that's still there on tap to be used.
Yep.
You know, I mean, yes. I think they've got pretty good two-point plays. One of them's like, just put Patrick Mahomes in a shotgun and send people out for a pass.
Let him find the right guy and throw it to him.
That's a pretty good plan. It's not foolproof, but it's pretty good. 913-310-810. Marty, you're in the program. What's going on, Marty?
What's going on, fellas?
You, my friend, what's on your mind?
Well, real quick before I get started, prayers up to our friend Tim Fitzgerald. Looks like from his updates on Twitter, he's been going through some really bad times, so prayers up to him.
Tim is going to be battling for sure. I saw that tweet last night as well, and we are absolutely thinking of our buddy Tim Fitzgerald.
But anyway, for the game, I think it comes down to coaching. And I've said this before to you guys. Sometimes we kind of agree to disagree. We go out there, and even if Mahomes is healthy, putting the game on his shoulders alone, we're going to lose. I mean, especially with our weapons, lack of weaponry outside of Kelce. our three, wouldn't you, your three interior linemen are the strengths of O-line by far? I mean, our tackles liabilities?
I mean, let's back up to the liabilities of weapons. Travis Kelce's
I said our tackles of our liabilities. I said our weaponry outside of Kelce aren't as good as the other playoff teams remaining.
There is good. There's not. I thought you said a lack of weaponry outside of Travis Kelce.
Oh, I did say that. I mean, Juju's okay. Valdez-Scantling disappears. Sky Moore's done a damn thing. I mean, compared to, like, the Bengals, Bills, Eagles, yeah, there's a lack of weaponry outside of Kelce.
So,
the point is, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I mean, you're laying that as the foundation and then building off of that. And I'm curious, who else caught the other 3,900 yards worth of passes that Kelce didn't?
I guess
a bunch of humps?
My foundation is that these coaches are too good to where we need to have a more balanced offense. I think they're in Reed's head to where he knows when it's going, gets tough. I mean, it's pass, pass, pass. Pacheco could be Joe Mixon. We don't know. I don't think he's got more 15 carries.
Let me ask you a question. How many yards would you have liked them to have rushed for this year?
So far, I don't think it's a question of yards. I think it's a question of keeping the opposing offense defense honest. That's all I want, all right? Like, Orlando Brown and Wiley are so bad. When the defense knows the pass is coming, just to minimize that somehow, some way. If we come out, run the ball more, I think that'll be a good thing. I'm trying to minimize our tackle liability because Brown's going to get beat in an important.
I'm open to saying, hey, these are the things they have to do more of. But I number one yardage, number one scoring, rushed for 1,970 yards as a team, threw for over 5,000. I'm like, I guess. Like, I have a hard time getting to the rest of your point when we start with what the hell do you want from the offense?
I think it's more situational versus stats. Like, there was a play third down when our loss to the Bengals this season where we actually handed the ball to Pacheco for a touchdown on third down. I think that caught the Bengals defense totally off guard. I think there's going to be more of that and less of just, okay, it's time for Mahomes to throw because then he'll get sacked. Just like the AFC Championship game, that last drive, McKinnon ran for 7 yards. That's the only argument.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, Marty. Listen, the other team's on scholarship too, my friend. I mean, the other guys can play. They can ball. I don't 9,000, 10,000 yards? Like, I guess I'm trying to understand what would be acceptable. It's professional football, the best of the best. The Houston Texans suck. The Bears suck. Justin Fields was a finalist for the Heisman Trophy. And he kind of sucks at this level. Think about that. I mean, and he's been at it for what, 3 years now? 2 years at least? Mm-hmm. 2 years now? And he isn't anything close to – I mean, are you – well, instead of Mahomes just dropping back and throwing on third down. Yeah, that blows. One of only three quarterbacks in the history of the league to throw for 5,000 yards twice. One of only two quarterbacks in the history of the league to throw for 5,000 yards and 40 touchdowns twice. I mean, like, no. I object. If you want to say, well, Orlando Brown's not good enough. Well, he is good enough. I would like better. I would prioritize better. But, like, do you want Mahomes or not? Because if you want the best left tackle, the best cover corner, the best edge rusher, and you're going to pay them all, then you can't afford Patrick Mahomes. So this is what it looks like. If you want to gripe, listen, I brought it up to Andy Reid on Monday. I said, you know, can you put your finger on why you haven't been better at short yardage? And we talked about it a lot on Monday. That's the only bitch you got. Orlando Brown's not good enough. He is good enough. He's just not great.
Yeah.
And if you don't want Orlando Brown, who do you want? And then when if you want to just fire out a random name, naming the best left tackle, well, he wasn't available. There's been no left tackle selected that was available when the Chiefs picked that they could have taken. That would have been better at that spot. I mean, again,
This year either.
I'm happy to have
They're light. Offensive tackle spot is light.
There's three that I think will go in the first There might be four that go in the first 15.
And everyone else is late second or third round. They're down the list.
Yeah, the Georgia kid might be there in the 20s.
Yeah. It's a Northwestern kid who's up there.
He's definitely going to go.
He's top 10.
But the point is that, you know, this is it. This is what it looks like. You've picked 30th for four blanking years, man. Like, you're at the bottom of every round. Basically, all the bad teams get two picks for your first pick. You pick 31 and they pick 33 after picking one? Like, I mean...
huge advantage.
You know, I object to the anger and the tone. Like, stupid is happening out at Arrowhead right now. How come these dunces aren't doing it? But they should have a better guy here and here and here and here. No! They shouldn't. They're actually kind of remarkable. They needed help this year. The game against Jacksonville ended when a seventh round pick intercepted the ball. Throughout the game, they ran the ball quite effectively with a seventh round draft pick in Isaiah Pacheco. Coverage was provided by their first round draft pick. Pressure was provided by their other first round draft pick. I mean, like, he's probably not going to win it. But, like, I'd be happy to go in front of a football committee and argue the point that Brett Veach should be the NFL Executive of the Year. They lost Tyreek Hill and got better.
They lost a future Hall of Fame wide receiver in the midst of the most productive part of his career, and they got better.
The most explosive, I think this might be fair to say, because the athletes just get better and better. The most explosive receiver in the history of football.
Yes.
They traded him away, and they got better. What the hell do you want? Right? It's the tone of, like, I mean, come on. I mean, what, are they even trying over there?
That was an all-time Mike Sweeney goes 3 for 4. You know,
yeah.
Why didn't he go 4 for 4 with four home runs?
Yeah, 3 for 4 with three solo homers. Royals lose 4-3. He hits one that the guy climbs the wall to rob a home run, and that SOB can't give us a hit when we need one.
He strikes out in the ninth inning. Go take the C off his jersey.
I don't know how many times we fielded that call. You know, he was 3 for 4 with a homer and two doubles.
He's hitting.
Yeah,
three.
But in the ninth inning. Yeah, because he knew he had hit a home run, he muscled up and drove one to the track. Take the C off that jersey.
You know he's on a pace for 140 ribs, and he's hitting 340.
Okay.
Yeah, but what did he do last night?
Yeah. Listen, I am open to the one thing that I'll be critical, and I gave Andy Reid an out in asking the question. The one thing I think they should be better at short yardage.
Yes.
But I also understand that takes time, like everything else. You know, go coach anything. Go coach peewee ball and in any sport, and you will quickly realize, we don't have enough time.
Yeah.
We have 40 things I want to work on. Well, pick the four we really got to get to, and let's go.
And if the third down issues, as much as we'd like to have them fixed, if they were that big an issue, then they'd be number one in yards and number five in points because they aren't cashing in.
Yes.
But they're one in both.
Dan, wrap us up. You got 45 seconds. Sorry, I'm cutting you short. Go ahead, Dan.
Hello?
Yeah, go for it real quick.
Listen, I got a quick question. The Bengals have destroyed us with a three-man rush. Why hasn't, and maybe they have, but I haven't heard it, anybody suggested tackle eligible plays? Make them put another man on the line and give us maybe a little break up there.
And run the ball more?
Well, not necessarily that, but heck, if Mahomes drops back and he's got a little bit of a jam, he gets a tackle eligible, he scoots out 4 or 5 yards and catches a pass.
Well, you have the same thing by just keeping the tight end in, Dan, and thank you for the call. I hear what you're saying. Put a better offensive lineman out there. I mean, if you wanted to run the ball, the Raiders did that a lot this year to put the tackle out there and try to play heavy and then try to surprise them with it, but that's not bread and butter.
All right, what was the last season where both conference championship games had spreads lower than 3 points? Brought to you by Good Sense.